Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us here on this Thursday. Kevin Herr alongside.
Hello, sir.
How are you today?
Wonderful to chat with you. Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great.
Did you have a good time at practice last night?
Yes, I did.
And
I even tweeted.
I know. That's what I said. Did you have a good time at practice? I saw the tweet. I'm telling you. You are all over it now. After the fights on Twitter, it has now become a part of your routine. I love it.
Get back to you on that. All right. Our number, 1-800-795-9565.
I said I love it. I didn't say you loved it.
Well, I did it because, look, we have followers now.
That's right. And it's growing every day.
Since we have followers, I think it's important to
give them something to follow.
Something to follow. Instead of like sitting there, you know, you just can't sit there all the time, just wait for the white smoke in the chimney to come up and go, wait, there's going to be a message from Steve. You can't do that. You have to feed them a little bit of stuff as time
white
goes along.
White smoke in State College.
Yes, we're getting it done. We'll have some open line time between 3:35 and 4, and then 4:35 and 5. First half hour, we're going to have Joe Bautista here at the Sunbury Motors Studio to talk about Penn State hockey. Then we'll go to New Orleans at 4:05, talk to Malcolm Moran about the steel cage match between Kentucky and Louisville. That's coming up on Saturday. But first of all, we bring in Joe Bautista, Sunbury Motors Studio. I know, Kevin, this is a heartbreaking for you that you know you'll go back to now. Looking at your IRL standings.
Yeah, I'll just keep up on what's going on at Barber for this weekend.
Goodness.
No, actually, I'm very excited about Penn State and hockey. I think it's going to be a really, like I said to you before, I think maybe 10, 15 years ago, it would not have had the same excitement around it that it does now because of what's happened with Hershey and Wilkes-Barre.
No question. And Joe Bautista has been the architect of all this. I don't know where they're breaking ground, Joe. I mean, I've driven down University Drive, just a pile of rocks all over the place. We are having a groundbreaking ceremony on April 20th, and I don't quite understand where you're breaking ground, man.
Well, yeah, it's amazing how for so long people thought where the lacrosse field was going was that was the construction for the new ice rink. And then people coming in on Park Avenue look at what's going on next to the Ag Arena and think, well, that must be something. Yeah. No, that's actually where we're putting our fill from the big hole we're digging right behind Shields Building and, you know, north of Haluba Hall, right along University. And I apologize for the mess that it's making out there. Anybody's car is getting a little dirty, but it's a temporary inconvenience for long-term gain. And I've had to apologize a lot to all my friends that work over in the Shields Building because we took away half their parking. But again, we're giving them back a real nice recreational facility with a real nice cyber cafe in it. So it'll be nice.
But I was teaching class at Wagner Building a week ago, and all of a sudden the earth moved.
Yes, we've been having a blast.
Yes,
and actually they're done. We're out ahead of schedule. But I got a kick out of it because I would go over periodically and you stand on the back steps of Shields and a lot of the staff would come out with their cameras ready and would comment on it and rate the blast. You know, ooh, that was the best one yet, or wow, that one was cool, you know, et cetera. And we even have a guy that put the blasts to slow motion video and with music in the background. It's actually pretty funny, but you know, it's amazing how much progress they've made. And I, the group that we've got, this Team Pagula, as we call them, Mortensen and our architect from Crawford, and all the subs that are working on it, it's been an amazingly smooth operation up to this point. And You know, yeah, around here, Steve, as you know, you always run into some issues with the, you know, geotechnical stuff. And I'll have to defer to my wife, the hydrogeologist in the family, for the real facts on that. But it's still going great. We're excited and looking forward to having the Pagulas in for the groundbreaking ceremony on April 20th. And hopefully that'll be an off day for them on the Stanley Cup playoffs, assuming the Sabres make the playoffs.
Right. They're right there battling for the final couple spots. Absolutely. Right now, the Sabres are for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Have they given you an indication about the weather and how much it's helped to this point to get them ahead of schedule?
Yeah, it's had a great impact. But I also believe that Gene Hodge and his group at Mortensen, they're professionals. They're very good. You know what they've been able to do, and you know I like getting the emails that say, okay, we saved money here, we saved money, we can put this back in the project and that back in the project. I like getting those emails. You know, every now and then you'll get, we had a little bit of an issue with this or that, but for me, this is the first time I've been involved with a building of this magnitude, and it has been fascinating to be a part of this. Watch the building from its initial conceptual stages to what we've gotten down to.
Well, I remember you were showing Jack Hamm and me the artist's conception before you even released it when we were down in Pittsburgh at the Duquesne Club.
Right, and it it does look in you know, fundamentally it looks like those water paintings did.
Right.
But there's been a number of good additions, you know, a couple things, you know, had to cut out, that sort of thing. The building shrunk a little bit because we had to keep making the footprint a little bit smaller. But I got to tell you, it's going to be just fantastic. We just got back from a trip to Notre Dame to see their brand new Compton Family Ice Arena. And it's a similar footprint in that it's two rinks, main arena with a practice arena just like ours is. But I really believe that we've had the advantage of looking at, okay, what did they do well? What would they have changed?
Sure.
And we're looking at best practices. And we've really done our homework trying to make sure we're putting together a facility that is going to be, you know, able to sustain itself. It's going to be great for not only the two varsity teams, but for the whole community, whether it's adult hockey, if it's student hockey league, it's intramurals, it's youth hockey, high school hockey, figure skating, broom ball. You know, there's even a lot of interest in starting a curling club. So
yeah, curling, sure.
How about that?
In fact, I think the idea was to have the rink open at a minimum of 360 out of 365 days in a year. Have you started booking this far ahead?
Not yet. We're still working on what the costs will be for operating the facility, and then we'll factor that into the rental. But
how much does it take to turn on just the lights?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you'll be surprised how quickly, even though we're going from one ice sheet to two, how quickly that ice will go. You know, there'll be the two varsity Penn State teams. There'll be two club Penn State teams. You know, we'll see growth in youth hockey, of course, and high school hockey, and the figure skating programs and the group lessons. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about how we want to see those programs grow. We've never been able to do that.
Sure.
We actually reached a point where we had so many kids in the learn to play hockey program and in the group lessons on the figure skating side that the kids had no place to go. It's like you get them all fired up, get them in, and then with one sheet of ice, you know, the only ice time that was available was the early morning and the late night, and well, not exactly prime time for families. But this is really going to be a game changer, you know, for the area.
Sure.
You know, being able to host tournaments, competitions, you know, we're certainly going to do our best to bring in some professional ice shows, NHL exhibition games, that sort of thing. This year coming up, we're on the men's side, we're going to be playing games at Wells Fargo Arena in Philadelphia. We're going to be playing games at Console. We're going to be playing at the Giant Center. We're going to be playing at Mohegan Sun Center in Wilkes-Barre, and trying to move the teams around. The women will be playing down in Reading, up in Erie. So we're trying to expose as many know, Pennsylvania, areas where there's lots of Penn State alums, to our new varsity hockey teams.
Guy Gadowski and Josh Brian William, both outstanding hires. Guy, of course, will be taking not only into Division I hockey, but also into what will be a Big Ten hockey conference. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, all have long-established programs. Is it safe to say, from a patient's point of view, Guy Gadowski has an expansion team?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, and especially I hope will have meaning coming from myself, given my experience with our, not to take away anything from the ACHA teams that I coached, I played on. That's when, but this is a whole different level. And, you know, I think our fans are going to need to be patient, just as the coaches are. We're working awfully hard. Guy and Josh are two of the hardest working individuals you'll ever meet.
And that was my point. Two outstanding coaches. Yeah. They will get it done. But
yeah,
I think the fans need to understand there's a curve here.
Yeah, well, Minnesota's playing in the Frozen Four. They have 18 NHL draft picks on their roster.
Yeah.
We're going to have two recruiting classes under our belt when we have to play them four times in the Big Ten, the inaugural Big Ten Conference. So while, you know, again, it's going to be a lot of excitement around the building, a lot of excitement around the program, we do need to have the fans be patient. You know, hopefully those first couple of years, it will be a very energized fan base that will help us, you know, steal a few wins here and there. But I think, you know, within 4 or 5 years, you'll see both our programs being nationally competitive. And, you know, I can't wait to the point where we're able to bring the Boston Colleges and the Notre Dames, you know, as our non-conference opponents into State College and, you know, have a chance to educate our fans and the new hockey fans that we are very confident will be out there when they see how exciting college hockey really is.
Eventually we'll get Guy on the show. And when we do, we'll talk a little bit about the recruiting aspect and what he's looking for, because there's a style of play he wants to play and a type of player he's looking for to get it done. But there's also a process involved here in order to get there. When you've talked to him, what has been the reception? You know, you have to start out with the reception. Once you can at least get a door open, you can then talk about what you have and what you're eventually going to have.
Well, his entire staff, these guys work very, very well together, and they Matt Lindsay and Keith Fisher are unbelievably connected in the hockey circles and are really hard workers. They're focused in. We got a great director of operations in Bill Downey. Yeah. We're thrilled with the staff, you know, on both sides. But, you know, in particular with Guy, he brings this experience of having had to build programs everywhere he's been. You know, he took a Alaska program that was, you know, at the bottom of the CCHA, and a couple of years later, they're in the CCHA playoffs, back in the NCAA playoffs. He takes Princeton, they're dead last in the, you know, in the NCAA rankings when he takes them over, and a couple of years later, they're 0.8 seconds away from being in the Frozen Four. So what he's been able to do is not only talk about how he's been able to build programs, coming from Princeton, obviously academics are important. He's able to sell that to recruits and parents without even having to try. And then, of course, having the new Pagula Ice Arena in your hip pocket has certainly been beneficial. It's his contacts in the hockey world. Remember, he played at Colorado College in the WCHA. He played professionally. He played on the Canadian national team. Right. You know, Keith and Matt, you know, have backgrounds in Minnesota and Massachusetts. Right. So if you look at
fertile recruiting grounds.
Oh, yeah. But we've also, you know, we've got two of the top recruits coming out of the state of Pennsylvania.
Which helps.
And that's something that those guys, both Guy and Josh, know that, you know, we've got to get the best talent out of our home state. And I think Guy has gotten a tremendous reception from the hockey community. We are the most talked about program. We haven't even played a game yet.
Right.
So it's amazing.
And he has great public relations sense, and he has really been able to his credit right away embrace Penn State.
Yes.
And you can see right away, I think when he came in here, he quickly said, wow, this is the place for me. That helps when you have that feeling. You know he's a long-term guy.
Yeah, I you know, again, his demeanor, his focus, his passion, his energy, and that's what drew me to him as a candidate in the first place, is that, you know, you could tell this was going to be a guy that not only was going to do the X's and the O's and be able to, you know, run a great practice and put together a good team, but he was going to be able to help us really promote the game of hockey. He's wonderful with our alums. He's wonderful with the private supporters of the program, and Josh is too on the women's side. You know, it's the same way, and they are big picture thinkers.
Yeah, but with you, with Josh, you know, when you're trying to recruit, you're trying to go in and not only understand the talent, but you're also trying to recruit personality too,
yes.
Because locker room is critical, or baseball clubhouse is critical. That's critical. For Josh, it was easier for you. You already had a complete handle on the personality.
Right.
For Guy, how quickly did you get a feel that the personality was the right fit, and then how quickly did you get the confirmation it was?
First time I got to talk to him, there was something about him. I had heard every time I would call one of my contacts, whether it was in the NHL or in the NCAA, right. Everybody would say, hey, have you thought about this guy that's a, you know, Princeton. I mean, I never heard anybody say anything negative about him. It was there was never some caveat like, well, but this. It was, no, tremendous person. You know, he serves on all kinds of committees in the NCAA and American Hockey Coaches Association, et cetera, just like Josh was with the ACHA. And so he said, what drew me to both of them really is that they're big picture people. Mm-hmm. They roll up their sleeves and they get down and dirty and do what you got to do, you know, practice and, you know, the coaching, the X's and O's. But first and foremost, they get the big picture. They understand, what we're trying to do here and what we're trying to build. And Guy's, personality, because, you know, obviously Josh, as you mentioned, I knew so well.
Sure.
But Guy, immediately, his energy, his enthusiasm, his sincerity is what hits you. And, he is not afraid to make tough choices. And all you need to look at that is when we were playing in the national tournament, mm-hmm. the ACHA, he sat out our leading scorer in the national semifinal game for disciplinary reasons. Yeah. That says a lot about his character, a lot about what matters most to him. Right. And I am thrilled at the team that we've put together and the future of the programs.
You mentioned that there'll be a little bit of a traveling road show in the upcoming season, the first season of Division I varsity status. Some games at Giant Center, some at Wells Fargo where the Baby Pens play, in Wilkes-Barre, Console Energy. How many will you try to play here on campus, again, to keep the campus feel going too?
We'll have a minimum 15 home games. Next year here in Greenburg. Yeah. And, you know, we've tried, given that we'll be moving into the brand new 6,000 seat arena. Yeah. If we were going to do this, we wanted to do it in this transition year. Mm-hmm. And, really happy with the reception we've gotten from mm-hmm. the Penguins, from the Flyers, from the Hershey Bears. We were just in Wilkes-Barre last week. Bill Downey and I were there and, met with all their folks and with the folks from Penn State Wilkes-Barre campus, and you know everybody's excited.
I'm evidently familiar with the Penn State Wilkes-Barre campus people.
They are very passionate Penn State fans.
Yes, they are. I went there the first two years. My freshman and sophomore year, I was there. So, yeah.
But it I think that getting the teams around the state is important.
But that's not a surprise because they want to grow the sport anyway.
Yes. Well, that was part of the Pegula's vision. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that, if Terry and Kim, you know, if their long-term vision comes to fruition, you're going to see ranks popping up in small towns, mm-hmm. all across the state. You know, right now, you know, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh went through this, you know, explosion in interest. Well, I was just at the, you know, the Wilkes-Barre Penguins practice facility, and it's terrific. Yeah. And, you know, there's rinks popping up. Allentown's about to build a 8,000-seat arena. You know, I'd like, hopefully we can get a team back in Johnstown.
Yeah.
That's just got a hockey-rich tradition.
It's hard with the War Memorial. It's, you know, it's not the greatest facility.
Venerable old building, that's for sure.
Look, anytime they put the word historic in front of a building,
okay, be ready.
That does not give you people, wow, the historic. No.
Yeah.
It's just a message from this station and the ad council. All right. Joe Bautista with us here on the Steve Jones Show, giving a little preview of hockey. And again, another strong Kevin Hurst segment.
You know, I like the points he made about moving the team around a little bit, seeing it in Wilkes-Barre and Hershey. I think that's a great idea.
In this year,
yeah.
Not down the road.
Right, right. But I mean, in this year, I think that's a great idea to really start promoting the program.
No question. And a great move. We'll come back more of the Steve Jones Show after this on WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Why choose Evenlink? Here's why. Even faster access, even better customer service, and even lower prices. Switch from expensive cable to Evenlink's TV, phone, and internet service. Get high-speed internet, all digital TV, plus your local channels with free high def. Add unlimited phone service, plus keep your same number. Packages starting from $75 per month. All three from $75 per month total, plus tax. Why pay more? It's the same TV stations, the same web pages, and the same phone service, but from Evenlink. For a lot less money. You could save $1,000 per year when you switch. Don't wait. Start saving today. No phone line in the house? Don't worry. Evenlink has the technology to bring you DSL only to the home. Call today and Evenlink will waive the $35 installation fee too. That's right. Free installation. A friendly, helpful, and local company for over 15 years. Evenlink. Even faster access. Even better customer service. Even lower prices. Call Evenlink at 988-1800. That's 988-1800 for Evenlink.
Do your feet hurt? They shouldn't. Let Albright Foot Care Center be your foot care provider. If you're one of the many people who suffer from heel pain and have tried a variety of unsuccessful treatments, let the doctors of Albright Foot Care Center evaluate you for shockwave therapy. A painless 20-minute procedure, shockwave therapy is highly successful in eliminating heel pain, has virtually no complications, and allows you to return to your normal activities within a few days. To learn more, call one of our three offices, Lewisburg, Sunbury, or Berwick. Call 522-8637. That's 522-8637. Toes.
Designer Homes is proud to announce a new, affordable, and stylish home, the Harvest Gold. This home's perfect for first-time homebuyers. Starting at just $69,995, this over 1,300-square-foot home is loaded. Three bedrooms, two baths, and kitchen with lots of cabinets, plus many upgrades standard inside and out. You'll think you hit pay dirt with the Harvest Gold. Don't delay. Stop and tour today on the Designer Homes lot in Mifflinburg. Call 966-6244 or visit online at Designer Homes of PA.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Here at the Chateau, we're off and rolling today. Our thanks to Joe Bautista for joining us here at the Sunbury Motors Studio today. And next half hour, we'll have Malcolm Moran from New Orleans. Station's been getting all over my case. about getting somebody on from New Orleans to talk about the Final Four. They said that the Ohio State play-by-play guy is not enough. They said the NIT play-by-play guy, not enough. They said you have to get somebody actually there. So we've been going through Canal Street trying to find anybody, and we came up with Malcolm Moran.
Well, you know, you got to bring it. You know, you there's high expectations on this program.
There should be. Now, you, of course, are absolutely fixated and fascinated with Twitter.
I love it.
Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis said today that he regrets sending a message on his Twitter account to Michigan point guard Trey Burke. If I had to do it all over again, I would have made it a general tweet, Hollis said in a telephone interview. It probably was unfair to direct my message to one person going through a process that I think has failed a lot of student-athletes. Burke is weighing a decision on whether to return for his sophomore season or to enter the NBA draft. Wednesday, he tweeted, "Everyone's got something to say. I thought this was my life." Hollis then tweeted to Burke, "My advice, believe in your heart and mind. Everything else is interference. People you seek out is better than those that seek you." That drew a response on Twitter from Michigan Athletic Director Dave Brandon. Mark Hollis had good intentions, but made a mistake. Not appropriate to tweet one of our student athletes. Won't happen again. End of story. Brandon later said the same thing in an email to the AP, adding he believes that Hollis realizes that now. Of course, Hollis is trying to help out Michigan by telling him that they get to stay, but still.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, well, wasn't that a positive? I don't know.
Right, but it's interference.
I understand.
With another school student athlete.
I understand, but at least now, I mean, he could have said, you know what, you need to leave. Leave now. Get out of there before it gets worse. You know, but at least it was positive.
Well, that's why I remember Adrian Claiborne at Iowa, who was just a nemesis for Penn State over and over and over and over and over. Right. Came back for his senior season. I was doing the pregame show. I said, "Jack," I said, "you and I called that kid left and right. I said, you got to leave early. You're ready." I said, he wouldn't listen to us.
I don't think Coach Paulson had called or consulted McCollum on whether he should go to the NBA draft or not. I don't think that happened.
I talked to Jack today, as a matter of fact. Talked about a lot of things. So. About the football team and two practices down. And, yes, I did tweet that Pat Chambers was at practice yesterday. He loved it. He loved the intensity. Oh. He loved the pace of it, the tone, the tempo. North Carolina players Harrison Barnes, John Henson, and Kendall Marshall all will leave school early to enter the NBA draft. Barnes and Marshall are sophomores. Henson's a junior. Roy Williams said, "Great day for three youngsters who are taking another step toward their ultimate goal of playing professional basketball." In a statement, "On a very small stage, it's a sad day for me because I won't get to coach them again. All Tar Heel fans will miss them greatly as well." I would think so. Henson, ACC Defensive Player of the Year 2011-2012, named to the All-Conference team this year, 279 blocks, second most in school history. "Love my 3 years at Carolina. Now I'm ready to pursue my dream of playing in the NBA," Henson said. "Tough to leave because I love my teammates, coaches, and UNC. Wish we'd been able to bring our fans a national championship, but it wasn't meant to be. I'm proud of what we accomplished, especially the last 2 years." Barnes was a sophomore on the all-conference team after leading North Carolina in scoring for a second straight year. Marshall won the Bob Cousy Award as the top point guard in the nation after setting the ACC single-season assist record with 351, fourth most in NCAA history. North Carolina ended the season Sunday with a loss to Kansas in the Midwest Regional Final. Marshall, of course, as we know, did not play because of his wrist injury. Broken bone.
Got a quick question for you regarding last half hour. Penn State's a hockey program. Question from Rich on Facebook says, does Penn State have season ticket prices yet?
They do not have season ticket prices yet. I asked Joe about that. No season ticket prices yet. They're now, once they get the schedule set, and that should be within, let's see, was this end of March? I'd say in 2 to 2.5 months, once they actually get the full schedule set, that and they'll set their season ticket prices. They'll play 15 games at home, and then, of course, they'll have a mix of games at Giant Center, Console Energy, and the Wells Fargo Arena in Wilkes-Barre. And they'll have different, you know, obviously different prices for different But about 2.5 months, I think, is when they'll put that package out there with the prices for the upcoming season.
Thanks again for the question, Rich. Of course, you can always ask questions on Facebook, Twitter, at Steve Jones PSU. Of course, stevejonesshow.com is our website, and email stevejones@wkok.com.
And if you're a season ticket holder, and you've been a longtime season ticket holder, you're going to work at, I mean, Nittany Lion Club points are going to be important for your seating at Pagula, you know, because it is for anything, you know, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, and then for this. But also, longtime season ticket holders or you know, season ticket holders for the upcoming season are going to have some a little more latitude and priority when they get to Pagula. But remember, this year, when they do play at home this year, they'll be playing in Greenberg, and it only seats 1,500 when they there's 1,100 seats. They can get 1,500 people in there. All right. That's all they have for this upcoming season. And then after that, Pagula opens in 2013-2014. They had to work very hard to get Big Ten ice hockey. You know, they sat down, and you know, the one that was the person in the room that just looked at everybody and said, look, this makes sense, and here's why. That person was Barry Alvarez of Wisconsin. Joe said he couldn't have been any better to deal with. Couldn't have been any better. He saw the big picture. I'm not surprised. It's the way Barry's always been. He understands the big picture.
Did you hear about the comments recently, Gary Williams talking about the fact that Kentucky could probably beat some of the NBA teams like the Wizards?
Yeah.
Is that a little bit, does he wish he had that one back to not use that again?
That's absurd. Now, could they in a game out of nowhere win a game? Yes. If they were to play 10 times, no.
And I think that was the point. I don't know that he made that point, but the comment was that they could beat him in one game at Rupp Arena. Didn't say, you know,
no.
One game out of blank, just one game.
No. You know, you have to realize that. All right. Let's take a good look. You want to know why the statement doesn't hold muster? Here's the reason why. Let's take a look at the NBA draft. Let's look at Evan Turner as a great example. Evan Turner was Big Ten Player of the Year, right?
Okay.
Second overall pick in the entire draft, right?
All right.
Star? No.
I was going to say, that'd be debatable.
No, he's not. He's a good basketball player, but no. Because now he's up against bigger, stronger, quicker competition. Everybody in the NBA is bigger, stronger, quicker than everybody in Kentucky. Davis is going to be the first overall pick in the NBA draft. But he needs to put on some weight and some muscle. Because he's going to get shoved around a little bit next year. You think when he goes up against Kevin Garnett, oh yeah, he'll make some plays. He'll block some shots in the NBA next year. His offensive game isn't that bad. But look, a guy like Garnett, he's going up against him. How about Bynum? Goes up against him, what's going to happen? Look, until he gets to be a little bit bigger and stronger in terms of like definition and mass on him, he's going to get moved around a little bit. I mean, this is the big guy league. And I don't know why Gary said that. That made no sense to me at all.
I actually thought when I first heard it that it was a Barkley comment. I mean, that sounds like a Charles Barkley thing.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense at all. I think people get carried away sometimes. I mean, I remember years ago, I was during the Bazzani years, they're like, yeah, the Lady Lions are playing great. They know they could beat the men's team. No, they couldn't. They lost almost every day to the practice team. Okay.
Really?
The practice team of guys?
Oh. I'm thinking their own practice team
Is like, their practice team is a practice team of guys.
I didn't realize
that. That's why women's basketball, they carry fewer numbers. They're allowed to have 15 scholarships, and they don't fulfill their obligation.
I did not know that.
because they practice against guys every day. That's their practice team. They don't need to have 15 players. You practice against guys. Well, those guys go into practice every day. They try to beat them, and guess what? A lot of times they do. Okay? And these are the practice team guys. They can't make... Okay? I'm not putting anybody down. It's just this is a fact of life. It makes the women's game better. You know, the Tennessee practice team guys, the Penn State practice, they make them better. You know, they face, you know, stronger, quicker competition. Well, same thing in this. Kentucky is not going to beat the Washington Wizards, as disorganized as they are.
11 wins, is that what it is right now?
Yeah, but remember, who's John Wall's the point guard for Washington. Okay? He was the point guard for Kentucky how many years ago? All right? He's bigger, stronger, quicker now. He's better than the Teague kid. Come on. He'd take him apart. I mean, he's been out there playing every single game. I mean, you know, gee, one game, gee, that's Ray Allen over there. Hey, that's Kobe Bryant over there. That's Teague. Okay, got it. I feel better now. It's just not going to happen. Now, in one game where all the stars align, sure. I'll tell you right now, we're going to talk to Malcolm Moran. First thing we're going to talk about is Kentucky-Louisville. I'll tell you right now, Kentucky's got its hands full with Louisville on Saturday, let alone the Washington Wizards. All right? I realize that we have a lot, there are more dramatic statements made today for effect and headlines than we've ever had in our lifetime.
Well, that's an understatement.
And that's why we try to, on this show, try to lend a little perspective to it. Now, could I go out there and, hey, absolutely, oh, Kentucky can beat the Wizards, and people call the show, oh, yeah, I'm not going to do that. That's snowing people. All right? If they play 10 games, there's a good chance Washington would win all 10. They would lose fewer than one. No fewer than one. They just wouldn't lose it more than one game.
Well, speaking of comments that were made today or recently, how about Donovan McNabb claiming he was misused, absolutely misused by Shanahan, and that RG3, let's see, how did he word that? I don't think it's a good fit. I don't think it works this year. If we don't see a splash like Cam Newton's splash, this could be it.
Well, number one, it's only my opinion. If I'm the Colts, I draft Andrew Luck. And in fact, I don't even think there's any dispute in my mind I draft Andrew Luck.
No, well, they're just blowing smoke. They just want to make things interesting.
No, but there's no dispute in my mind I draft Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, you look at the body of work in his career, he's actually far more mobile than people realize. Great arm, great sense for the game, can call the game at the line of scrimmage to his credit. Now, it will be a little different ball game in the NFL. In terms of the speed he'll have to face and so forth. But he's the right guy to pick, no question about it, and played against better defenses. All right? RG3 is a great athlete, and I think tremendous accuracy. But remember the Big 12. You want to know what the highest-rated defense of the Big 12 was last year? 41. Right. So, Luck probably played overall against better defensive competition anyway. Now, is this an apples and oranges thing? Yes, but I think there's no doubt who I pick. I think Griffin actually may end up, if he goes to Washington, he'll probably win more games than Andrew Luck initially. Because there's better personnel around him in Washington than what the Colts have. That doesn't hurt. He may win 7. They may go 7-9 next year. And the Colts may go 4-12. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Sunbury Dave. Hi, go ahead.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah, Dave, how are you?
Okay. Well, first of all, that Donovan McNabb comment, that's just basically sour grapes. And he's a free agent out there looking for a job.
Right.
To be honest. And in that comment that the North Carolina coach said about the Kentucky could beat an NBA team.
Actually, it's Gary Williams, the former Maryland coach.
Oh, okay. Well, it's the same deal as the head that was at 40 or 45 years of the best players in college football played the Super Bowl champs, and like about 80% of the time the NFL won the game.
Right, it was the college all-star game. In fact, Jack Ham played it, and it was at Soldier Field in Chicago.
Yeah, it was done for so many years.
Yep, it was played for many, many years. Yep.
So many players all together, and they still couldn't beat the NFL champs.
Right, exactly. It was the college all-stars against the NFL champion, whomever that happened to be, and they would play at Soldier Field in Chicago. And every once in a great while, the college all-stars would win. I think they won maybe three times, and that was it. That's all they did. And every once in a while it happens, but you know the NFL team sits there and goes, "We're not going to lose this thing, are we?" We're not going to lose this thing. So that's a good point. I think a lot of people forgot about that college all-star game over the years. It went from 34 to 76. And Jack played in it. And after the Super Bowl began, including then the Super Bowl champ would play in it. So they played in it. And the college all-stars, let's see. How many games did they win? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 times. 9 times they won it. But the last...
Actually, that's more than I thought.
Well, no, there's some ties in here, too. Let's see. This is 1, 2, 3, 4. Eagles lost in it. 5, 6, 7, 8. Nine losses. Now, some of those are like just 37, 38, 43, 46, 47, right? But from 1956 on, it happened twice. From 56 to 76, it happened twice. College All-Stars beat the Detroit Lions 35 to 19 in 58, and in 63, the All-Stars beat Green Bay 20 to 17. After that, Bears won 28-17, Browns won 24-16, Packers won 3 in a row, the Jets won by 2, Kansas City pounded them, Baltimore won, I think that's the one Jack played, it was the one against Baltimore, and they won 24-17. Dallas won, Miami won, then the Steelers won back-to-back. I knew you'd be proud of that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, I was surprised that the college team won that many. That's a higher number than I would have guessed.
Yeah, but most of the time. Yeah, they raised $4 million for charity in the course of 42 years. So 42 years, there's 9 wins, 2 ties, right? 9 wins, 2 ties, right?
Right.
So.
That's not 31-9-2.
And you have to remember, too, who are they putting in at the end of the game, by the way? You know, the fourth quarter, who's Green Bay playing? I mean, was Green Bay, not Green Bay won. No, 63 they didn't. Okay, they lost. All right. So 63, they lost 20 to 17. I mean, was Bart Starr playing in the fourth quarter?
Probably not.
No. Jim Taylor, Paul Hornung, Willie Davis?
No.
No. Not playing.
Ron Vanderkellen of Wisconsin was the MVP of the game. Whew, you gotta be kidding me. Wow.
Okay. So we'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show after this.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Well, the economy is at it again. It's up, it's down, it's sideways. Frankly, it's confusing. At Advance Auto Parts, we're going to make things simple for you. Right now at Advance, we're offering you 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil plus a Fram Extra Guard oil filter for only $17.99. See store for details. We got the high-quality supply, you get the money-saving demand. That's economics everyone can appreciate. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Know why most shoe stores never bother to measure your feet? Too much work. Know why they don't offer different widths? Too much work. Know why they don't ask about your work? Too much work. Think you can say installing that last bridge span or torquing the bolts on a jet engine is too much work? Didn't think so. At a Red Wing shoe store, we know your feet and your work, because Red Wing boots are purpose-built for the exact work you do. Red Wing shoes. Work is our work.
Here's Jamie Marks, registered nurse, Geisinger Medical Center in Danville.
Innovation pretty much drives every decision that's made here. This is where answers can be found for complex problems.
If it's a serious health issue, and you're the sort of person who doesn't hesitate to seek out the best, you owe it to yourself to consider Geisinger Medical Center. It's a place where entire teams of uncommon physicians, researchers, nurses, and other specialists challenge convention, push the boundaries. They're leaders in organ transplantation, innovators in treating brain tumors, heart problems, and complex cancers. Geisinger Medical Center in Danville is a very wise option.
We're very fortunate to have an institution of this caliber right here in our backyard.
To put these experts on your side, call 1-800-275-6401 or visit Geisinger.org. Geisinger Medical Center, redefining boundaries.
Like, they used to give out an MVP of that game, and when they did, it always went to a college player. And some pretty good ones along the way. Bobby Mitchell, for example, was the MVP. Billy Kilmer, John Hadel. Guys like that. John Brody was the MVP of it. Babe Parilli. Not bad. Only 2 Heisman Trophy winners ever won the MVP. Pat Sullivan from Auburn and John Heward from Notre Dame. And John Heward made the move of, hey, I think I'll sign for $200,000 to play for the Jets. Really? Then a couple weeks later, they signed another quarterback for $400,000.
Oops.
Joe Namath. Uh-oh.
Oops.
Time to ride the pine. Last MVP of the game was Ray Guy. How about that? Punter. That tells you about how lopsided that was. Malcolm Moran next.